Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This game has had everything except a run for the Cubs. Yeah! Taylor wins it. 1-0. As Baez strikes out at a pitch that was up. And the Cleveland Indians have just thrown their fifth shutout in 11 postseason games this year, and the Cubs have been shut out for the fourth time this postseason.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sunday mornings on The Score.
Welcome in on 670 The Score. It is me, Matt Spiegel, and yeah, that game not so fun. In terms of the outcome, if you're a Cub fan. But the game itself, one of the more memorable experiences of my baseball life, and that is absolutely true. My brother was there with me. That is the first Cubs home game of the 2016 World Series. My brother was there with me. My now wife was there with me. And this next guest, who joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park, was with me. Herb Spiegel, welcome to Hit and Run. Welcome to The Score. You've been here before. You know how this works, you radio veteran. You?
Yeah, I'm a radio veteran.
You are. I mean, my God, people have been like, oh, I love when your dad is on. So this is now, it's an annual tradition, and here we are.
It's my thrill for the year, really. I just look forward to it, and it's just to be on with you, and I know that... For both of us, it's a dream.
Yeah. Well, you know, tell me, happy Father's Day to you. And this is, this once again serves as my incredibly cheap and efficient way of wishing you a happy Father's Day and giving you the gift of some Chicago sports radio notoriety. Hope that's, you know, worth something.
I couldn't ask for a nicer gift. my wife just delivered some blintzes to me. Ooh. With blueberries and strawberries, and I'll send you a picture.
Please.
And here am I on the lovely New Jersey shore, practically, or the Delaware River, talking to my son about sports. I love it.
Yeah, couldn't be better, right?
Can't get better.
So Christine showed me yesterday. I never knew it was here, but over by, it's on West Madison, over near the train station. There is a giant statue of a baseball bat, huge metal statue of a bat, and it was, and you know who did it? You know who made it? Klaus Oldenburg.
Sir Johnson?
Nope, Klaus Oldenburg. It's Oldenburg.
Oh,
from
Klaus Oldenburg. Oh, of course.
Yeah. So you hipped me to that because you're an art guy, and you and mom steeped me in art and stuff like that. I didn't realize that he was a Chicagoan, that his parents
I didn't either.
His parents moved here in the 30s, and he was asked to make something that symbolized America, and he decided that the baseball bat was a symbol.
That's a great story.
Isn't it? At the time, that was a symbol of America's hope and idealism and possibilities, was the baseball bat.
Yeah, he has a plug at the Philadelphia Art Museum, and he also has a clothespin right in downtown Philadelphia. I thought he was from Philadelphia, but...
Yeah.
Another major league city.
yeah, that's right. But apparently he moved around a little bit. Tell me about your dad in baseball, would you? Because I know what you've done for me and the other four Spiegel children and your grandkids. Sister Suzanne texted me that her son Sam is a huge Red Sox fan, just basically through osmosis because of the way she would talk about it and passed it down.
I'm often asked how I ended up being a Red Sox fan. I probably have told the story too many times, but basically my dad, we only went to doubleheaders in Philadelphia. In those days, there was usually a doubleheader on Sunday, and we went down by train, and he wanted to show me this skinny kid hit a baseball that turned out to be 1946. And it, or 1941, and it was Ted Williams, and of course that was the year of the last 400 hitter. I saw him and immediately was enthralled with the Red Sox, and my father showed me, and he was a Yankee fan, but he rooted for the Red Sox only because, you know, he loved me and loved the family, and he always encouraged us, but we loved baseball.
Mm. So, and he was a Yankee fan, though, right?
Well, he was a Yankee fan, but not rabid. But he was a Yankee fan. But I have great memories of places he took me. I have the envision to this day of watching Carl Hubbell pitch, and I remember him. This before the designated hitter, obviously, and him sliding across home plate. You know, with that valuable arm he had, it was great. And baseball's has been a wonderful outlet for me and for the whole family.
Hmm. Carl Hubbell. It's got to be. You just sent me that the other day. Why were you thinking about Carl Hubbell striking out five straight Hall of Famers in the All-Star game?
Because we had a neighbor across the street who came over to show me the article about the guy whose collection of baseball cards was worth millions of dollars, and he had it in his basement. We were talking about baseball cards, and I was telling him that during the war. Uh-huh. There used to have war bonds, and you could auction. You bought a war bond to get into the movie theater, and they would auction things off. And one thing my father bought was a baseball that was signed by all of the players that Carl Hubbell struck out on that wonderful All-Star game. And we lived in downtown Trenton and didn't have any grass lawns. We had a cement. We play ball on cement, and we lost our baseball. And my brother went in and he got this baseball had these autographs on it. Who knows what it'd be worth today? And we played with it again, sort of, and ruined it.
Yeah, you did. That's Ruben's college education you were playing with there, Pops. My God!
Right now it would be, that's for sure.
Yeah, right now at this point it would be.
So that's where we came. That's where I came up reminiscing about Carl Hubbell.
Mm-hmm.
And
what do you think? You know, when you think about the importance of baseball in your social life. You know, not just your kids and stuff like that here on Father's Day, but think about how many random conversations have been started or enriched by baseball. Selling furniture, as you did for decades, teaching, as you did. It just kind of gets mixed in and weaved into to your whole social existence, doesn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah, and I swear I'm not going to listen to baseball, but I have trouble going to bed at night without checking the scores to this very day. And do I miss it? Yeah. I will say I can't watch the replays. I know that all the TV stations and maybe the radio stations too replay the great baseball. I can't watch those. I like the, you know, the old cliche, it's not over till the last person is out or till the fat lady sings. But I'd like the fact that in the bottom of the ninth inning with two outs and two strikes on a batter, the game is still going on. And that's very exciting to me.
Yeah. Would you care to tell people about our phone conversation in 1986 when there were two outs and two strikes and I called you from a person's house?
Yes. You know, it's so funny because I'm talking to you in Chicago, and really Red Sox fans and Cub fans have a great bond. But the story was that, what I have gone through my entire life with the Red Sox and a lot of Chicago people have gone through with the Cubs, mm-hmm. is that scars. People always say, I got scars on my arms from Bucky Dent and from Johnny Pesky not throwing the ball in, and from Bob Gibson and the Cardinals and the Big Red. So Matt is going to a party and the Red Sox are beating the Mets. And it looks like they're about to clinch the World Series. And he calls me up from the party and says, Dad, do me a favor. Would you just record the presentation and the big celebration after the game?
Yeah.
And I looked at him. I spoke to him and said, Matt, what makes you think that there's going to be a celebration? I've been a Red Sox fan a long time. And maybe 10 minutes later, Mookie Wilson hits the ball to Bill Buckner, and it goes right through his legs and extends the World Series, which they eventually lost. And he came back from his party. He says, Dad, how did you know that? I said, those were your words. Uh-huh. How did you know that? And I said, I've been a Red Sox fan a long time.
Yeah. So that's a learned pessimism or fatalism, if you will, that you had. But that should be gone by now. See, that's the thing. Well, that should be gone by now because they've won. They won like three different times, Pops. They just keep winning.
Yeah, you're right. I feel like I'm being a little piggish when it comes to that. But yes. I love what you said at the onset of your show that there we were with Christine and Brother Bob and you and I watching my first World Series in person was the Cubs, and it was such a delight. And then repeating that a couple years later when you flew in from Chicago and I met Bob in New York, we drove up to Fenway Park and I and we stayed at a motel where you could see the lights from Fenway, right?
Mm-hmm. Right, around the corner.
So it has been a great bonding and binding part of our lives. And we had some pain, but we've had some joy. And generally speaking, here you are. It's on Father's Day, and we're talking about father and son are talking baseball. And we're sort of, I'm in my senior years, and you're in your, I guess, almost early middle age. And we can still bond over baseball.
Yes, we can. And the one guy that I want to add to this conversation is that brother Bob, your son Bob, who now joins us also on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Brother Bob on the show, Pops Spiegel on the show. You guys know each other, right? You guys go pretty far back, I think, safely. Bob.
I think so.
Hey, Bobby, I have a question. Dad didn't play catch a lot with me. Did he play catch a lot with you? Like, the baseball relationship that I have with him is largely, like, intellectual and appreciating and stuff like that. Did you guys play a lot together?
Well, happy Father's Day to both of you, especially you, Dad.
Thank you. Love it. Love it. This is a great thrill for me. God.
I think Dad was more of a slam dunk kind of like, you remember when he used to yell at us and then he would just walk into his bedroom? Like, he likes to make a scene, you know, like the last scene of the movie. He just,
yeah.
So we would be shooting baskets outside and he would come home from work and he would say, "Let me have a shot." And, he'd come over and he'd swish one from about 15, 18 feet. And then he'd leave, like patting himself on the back, like it was like a heroic moment. So I think he did the same thing with playing catch. And I think as he describes it, once I started throwing it too hard, he backed out because he had one of those baseball gloves from the 1940s that was almost like a winter glove.
So you were good. See, Bobby, you were the archetypal baseball player of my youth. I must have been 7 and 8 years old, and I was the bat boy for your high school team. You guys were pretty good too, and you were center fielder. Did you hit leadoff too, or nine? I forget where you hit.
I was a two skill player, so I had I was an incredible fielder. I had a really good arm. That's it. I struck out a lot. I was really good at missing the ball, but making it look really good. And, you know,
that's funny.
Yeah, I don't know why. I don't know. I think Dad didn't spend a lot of time with us teaching us how to hit and catch. So you're right. That's why you probably ended up on the radio as opposed to on the field.
Yeah, that mixed with my love of food along the way.
I'd like to say something about that basketball shot.
Yes, please.
Well, they put up. We live in a street where they put up a basketball net and backboard, and I went out there and tried the very very same thing. Give me that ball. Well, anyway, I do it every summer. I go out and I take a shot, and I don't even hit the backboard anymore. Things have changed.
Matt, I just want to correct one thing. I was listening for a few minutes. When Dad said he went to the World Series, the World Series in Chicago, we went to that first game, and he watched the game. I don't think he was watching the game. He was at whatever, 85 years old, Instagramming, posting pictures and trying to find Wi-Fi. I think he was mostly sad that the Wi-Fi signal wasn't strong enough at Wrigley.
That is true. How many times did we tell him that he had to get his head out of his phone? You're at the World Series!
I'm glad my wife just walked away.
And I remember one time he mumbled, when he couldn't get the Wi-Fi, he mumbled, "Well, they're going to believe that I was here." What are you talking about?
Fenway was even worse. 2 years later in the 2018 World Series, he was down there on the phone like, "Dad, appreciate the moment." But Bob, one of the great feelings of my life was that first Cubs game of walking him in. When you think about how many times he walked us into ballparks and helped us fight through the crowd, for us to be able to do that for him, help the old man walk through the concourse and get to the seats. And you remember the wide-eyed wonder with which he looked around for a while there. It was pretty magical stuff.
Has Dad told you the story of has he told the story on the air of Carlton Fisk's home run and me when I was a little how old was I? I was 14.
No, you need to tell it. You need to tell it right now.
Yeah, well, you know, we
go ahead, Bob.
So we were watching the World Series. I mean, probably the greatest game of all time. You know, they reference it in Good Will Hunting, and Bernie Carbo pinch hit and hit the 3-run homer to tie it up at 6-6, and it goes into extra innings. And I don't know, it must have been on a Thursday night or some weeknight, and I had to go to. You know, my dad's like, "You got to go to sleep. You got to go to sleep." I go, "Okay, I'm going to go to sleep." He goes, "I'll put it on the radio for you next to your bed." And I fell asleep in bed, you know, before Fisk hit the 11th inning home run where he waves to keep the ball fair. And I woke up. I was so angry at Dad. Like, how could he deprive me of literally the greatest home run of all time? And for years, every time it would come on television, I would watch it. And we went to the, I guess a year later, we went to the Air and Space Museum in Washington, D.C., and they were showing the how satellites have helped, you know, make TV baseball games work. And I went to the museum, and for an hour, they showed the highlight of Fisk's home run over and over. And for an hour, I stood there until my dad was in pain and said and begged me to leave the museum and to leave that section. I just wanted to torture him with having to watch that home run over and over again.
Oh, God. Payback is a bitch.
By the way, your father left this conversation. I thought I would.
I remember years later, Kirby Puckett hitting a game-winning home run, and my dad would call me and say, "Are you awake? Are you awake?" Yeah. Any extra inning late home run, he wants to make sure that I'm awake for.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I love it. I don't know why I just flashed to coming home one night from high school, and dad was still awake, and he said, "I'll tell you what, that Canesco hit another home run." He meant Canseco, but I appreciate it. I appreciated what he meant. Because he did. Well, he hit yet another one.
Your sister calls me every once in a while during the World Series. Says that her son Sam is up. I want to put him to bed. Should I put him to bed? I said, "You're asking the wrong person."
Right, because you don't want her to pay for that for the rest of her life.
That's right. Yeah. And it's funny. I went into one of these souvenir stores in Hamilton, New Jersey, and they had a statue there of Carlton Fisk. And I said, "I want to buy that." They said, "Well, that's not for sale." I said, "I want to buy that." Do you still have that, Bob?
Of course, Dad. I have a Carl
on your desk, right?
a shrine with me giving you the finger as part of it.
and deservedly so, I got to say. All right. Well, I love you guys, and I wanted to say hello to the both of you. And, Dad, I wanted you to hear from both of your baseball sons. Hey, Bob, what did you tell the – very quickly, tell the story. What did you paint on your wall? Because I've talked about it from my perspective. But what was the idea that you painted on your wall? Because I was a little kid watching you play baseball and then watching your wall as a kid, and that really turned me into what I am in terms of baseball today.
I think I had a lot of emotional issues as a kid, and my parents got me a journal. And I was supposed to write down my feelings and my thoughts in my journal. And all I would do was listen to Red Sox games on the staticky radio from Hartford, Connecticut. And in my journal, if you go look at it today, would say Butch Hobson had two home runs. And it was all about Red Sox games, nothing about my feelings, but that's all I would think about. So as I listened to these games, I thought, I'm going to paint a big Fenway Park on the wall, and I made little slots for baseball cards. And the idea was to move them around and create some sort of visual, much like they do on ESPN. With that, what is that, GameCast or something?
Right. So, you basically were creating your own StatCast, your own GameCast, Game Day.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you had the slots for the defensive players, and you had slots on the base paths, right?
Oh, yeah. I moved everybody around, you know, until the 10th inning when Dad would yell down, "You got to go to sleep," something like that.
So
Tell me something. Is there any better way to celebrate Father's Day than this, what we're doing right now?
No.
If there is, I don't know it. If there is, I have no idea.
I love you both.
I love you both.
It's been such a treat, I can't even tell you. You can say, "Oh, no." Okay.
Hey, Pops, thank you for giving us a lifetime of baseball, of history, of appreciation of the moment, of making sure that we do things together and talk to each other from all your kids and your grandkids and everybody, okay?
Hey no, Matt, I just wanted to say I found a baseball, almost baseball replacement out there, and it's I've become addicted to 90 Day Fiancé. Have you seen it?
No, I have not.
It's got all the elements of suspense, youthfulness, you know, relationship issues. It's just got strategy. It's got the whole thing. So
okay, 90-day fiancé. All right. So yeah. That's better than Premier League soccer or marble racing or some of the other options that exist for us out there?
I mean, it's really tense. It's like March Madness, as my wife said.
All right, okay. I'll check it out.
Take us out to the bowl game. We'll see you. Thank you.
Thank you, Spiegels. Thanks. Oh, man, that was fun. That's my pops, 87-year-old Herb Spiegel, and my big brother, Bobby Spiegel. Ozzie Guillen Jr. is going to join us later on in the hour. When we come back, though, there's an update from Bob Nightingale that involves the players voting sooner rather than later on the owner's most recent proposal. We'll give you all the details on that stuff when we come back. It's Hit and Run on 670 The Score.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You sit in traffic now. But later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Well, I think it'd be catastrophic. I mean, remember even last time it took 4 years, you know, saved by the McGuire-Sosa home run race to get attendance back to that same level. You know, that was just during normal time. So now you're talking about, you know, having a financial dispute in the middle of a pandemic, civil unrest, you know, deaths from the virus. You know, just nobody had the stomach for. This would be much worse than the cancellation of the 94 World Series. I think it would take, you know, a minimum of 10 years for the tennis set to ever get back to the same level.
That's the thing. That's the thing from Bob Nightingale there. You know, how long it might take for baseball to recover and build its way back from something like this. Because the damage will be massive. It's Matt Spiegel here with you on Hit and Run on 670 The Score. There was serious, tangible damage from the 1994 lockout and strike. Serious strike damage. And we can go over it. And I want to. I've got those numbers. We can talk about it. Because I feel like sometimes people forget what the actual damage was. But it is right there for you. And the thing is, owners are being very short-sighted. Yes, and players are being short-sighted. But the players have shown a willingness to play ball and get going. But the owners, I think, are being very short-sighted about the damage that this could potentially cause. Here's the latest. Here's what's going on. You know that the owners made their latest proposal. And the latest proposal was for 60 games. And the MLB Players Association decided to delay taking a vote on the 60-game proposal for several days because they wanted to gather information. Because so many spring training camps all of them have been shut down now because of the rash of positive tests for COVID-19. So now the pandemic is rearing its ugly head again and complicating matters. The latest from Bob Nightingale is this. The players now have decided to take a vote Sunday, today, instead of waiting on COVID-19 test results on whether to accept or decline MLB's offer to play 60 games at full prorated salary. It's going to be declined. This offer is going to be declined. And we are back at square effing one. 1 week ago, there could and should have been a deal. It could have been for 65 games, 70 games. It could have been for 81 games. But the owners didn't want to pay that much. Didn't want to pay the full prorated salary for that many games. So instead, they made those three offers. They made three offers at an incredibly slow pace that had very little difference from each other. And you saw, maybe heard, the Andrew McCutchen video. You want a juice? I've got water. I've got water. No, we agreed on juice. Okay, I got water in a cup. I've got water this way. I've got water that way.
Who's thirsty?
Yeah. We all are, Andrew. The fans are. We're incredibly thirsty. So frustrated. But either way, sit down. Have your face-to-face. Finally, they had one last week, made progress. Hey, imagine that, instead of playing the World Series of press releases as they've been playing. They actually got face-to-face, talked about it, made some headway. Then the press releases came out, and then the leaks came out as owners and players alike ran to their desired leak receptacle and deposited said leaks onto the media, and it created problems. Stop talking to your leak receptacles. Stop. Stop letting other owners talk. Stop letting other players talk. Tony, control this thing. Man, see, I'm versed on the players involved. And those are the guys, sadly, that I should be focusing on, right? These are the players. You know who the players are these days? The players are Dan Halem, the deputy commissioner of baseball administration. He's the chief negotiator for the players, for the owners. Bruce Meyer is the chief negotiator for the players. These are the players. I have stats on these guys. Bruce Meyer's 57. Silver and black beard. Hey, he's a guitar player, too. Former lawyer for a firm in New York. Then he left that firm and went to work for the NHL Players Association and Donald Fehr just 3 years ago. In August of last year, he was hired away by Tony Clark to engage in what is going on now, the CBA next year, and of course right now. These are the players involved: Rob Manfred, Tony Clark, Bruce Meyer, Dan Halem. These are the guys that I have stats on. Randy Levine is the president of the New York Yankees. He was the lawyer for the players, one of the lawyers for the players, for MLB, in 1996. Chief labor negotiator for MLB for a while, negotiated the labor agreement in 1996. He's full of thoughts. He's got lots of advice for Rob Manfred that he aired publicly. I believe with Bob Nightingale, went to his favorite leak receptacle and talked to Bob Nightingale and put it out there and said he was dismayed that Scott Boras was mixed in. So Scott Boras, too. These are the players that I know about. What a terrible stat board. What a terrible leaderboard it is to look at these players. What bio information I never wanted to acquire that I've now acquired and I'm sharing with you on a baseball show. I'm frustrated. And yes, the players then said, tell us when and where. And the owners came back with his proposal for 60 games at full prorated pay. And now the players are saying no. They offered their 70-game proposal. And so could they split in the middle? No, I guess it's not that simple. Here's what the players had said they were going to do, which complicates the tell us when and where and now the saying no to tell us when and where. They were going to file a grievance with the National Labor Relations Board. Once the owners said, okay, we're going to play a 48-game season or 50-game season or whatever at full prorated, the players said, okay, we're going to file a grievance. Now, this new deal that the owners put out there, the 60 games, comes with the caveat that the players cannot file a grievance. And the players had agreed to that in conversation with Tony Clark, but not specifically in the deal. So now the owners want them to agree to not file the grievance. You know why the owners want them to agree to that? Because the grievance would be won by the players. It was before. Bigger bodies than MLB and MLBPA usually rule for the union, for the players' union. It's what happened in 95. It's what happened. It's why baseball resumed. Owners instituted a salary cap in December of 94. It never took effect because it was ruled to be unlawful. So that's why the owners don't want them to file a grievance, because they think they're going to lose. And so the players say, okay, well, you know, all this stuff is so, it's complicated, it's tedious, it's frustrating, and it's not baseball, and it's depressing. So where are we? We're nowhere. Unfortunately, we are nowhere. And we're worse than nowhere. Here's why we're worse than nowhere, okay? Because we've gone through all of this. MLB has shown its terrible, ugly face in terms of negotiations. It has bred even more mistrust that will be a problem next year in the massive labor dispute about the next CBA. They have annoyed their fans. They have missed the opportunity for goodwill. All of that has taken place, and there might not be a season anyway because of a pandemic. So all of this, not only is it ugly, but it is not, very possibly, it is not going to be rewarded with baseball. Because that's the carrot. That's the carrot for all of us to deal with it. That is the selling point that is supposed to make us forget this ugliness, because the game is so beautiful, and it is. Luckily, through the years, the game has been beautiful and powerful enough that it has made you forget this stuff. What if there's no games? What if the lasting memories of 2020 are the negotiating ugliness that nobody wanted to hear about during a pandemic? That's all we're going to have for this moment? That's entirely possible now, because we as a nation have not been doing a very good job of controlling the virus. Other countries have been doing a far better job. They're getting their sports back. We in Illinois, we in Chicago have done a good job. The numbers are good. But as a country, and in some of those high-risk states where the numbers are high, they have not done a good job. And now we're in trouble. So now we might not get anything. So I fully expect the players to vote this down today. And then I expect there to be very little progress for a while they wait on the medicals. And I'm nervous and frightened about the entire thing. Good vibes, babe. Not super good vibes when the truth is involved, unfortunately, at this moment. All right, we're going to have some conversations the rest of the way that I'm very much looking forward to. And you're going to hear from some voices about Father's Day later on that I'm very much looking forward to. Baseball guys that have been on this show. Carlos Pena later on. Joe Buck later on. Lawrence Holmes at the top of the hour. He spoke with his father on his podcast this week about his grandfather and the Negro Leagues. We'll talk about that a little bit, among other things, at the top of the hour. But next, Ozzie Guillen Jr. on Life with Dad and MLB. That's coming up next with me, Matt Spiegel, right here on Hit and Run on 670 The Score.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sunday mornings on The Score.
Welcome back in on 670 The Score. It is indeed Hit and Run. Looking forward to talking to my friend and colleague Lawrence Holmes at the top of the hour. Happy Father's Day to you and yours. A text at 312-644-6767. So far you have made me sad, happy, and now angry at America. Thanks, Speaks. You're welcome. Welcome to my world. This is there's a big mix of emotions that are going on for all of us today. Another texter says, you will lose brain cells watching 90 Day Fiancé. My daughter and I watched one summer and our IQ decreased. Okay, well, I don't usually lose brain cells watching baseball, but I might have to watch one at my brother's behest. He says that that it has everything that baseball does. It's got the youth, it's got the enthusiasm, people making mistakes, getting better, learning. I don't know if there's any athletics, but there's tension, there's drama, So 90-day fiancé. All right. I'll think about that. We're going to talk to Ozzie Guillen Jr. at some point here on today's show as well. But I mentioned that some of our guests have talked about their dads a lot, been fortunate to develop a friendship with Joe Buck a little bit. And he's been on quite a bit on this show and has talked about, of course, his father, the great Jack Buck. I got to say, that was my favorite moment of Long Gone Summer, I think, was being reminded of how special it felt for Jack Buck there in that moment when McGuire hit 62, because I am disconnected from the joy and the naivete of that home run race. I can't relive it in any way because, you know, the cat's out of the bag. It's imbued with history and cheating and context for me. So I thought the documentary was a failure. But the one moment that did make me realize, oh, yeah, it was awesome. It was special. Was the one where Chip Carey talked about looking down the press box as he was doing the Cubs game and Jack Buck was standing there applauding with tears coming down his eyes as home run number 62 had come out. Joe Buck was there too. It's pretty cool. So how do you go into a life of broadcasting and deal with the rest of your life in broadcasting if you are Joe Buck and you're thinking about your pops and how you're going to be compared to him as a broadcaster for the entirety of the rest of your whole life in St. Louis and beyond?
For the rest of my life, at least around St. Louis and for people of a certain age, I will always be compared to and never match up to the legend of my dad, which grows with each passing day. So I think that that's kind of my side of it. As far as were we close, did I have his love? Yeah, we were very close, and I knew that I had his love, and we were not afraid to say it to each other. I remember one time he was sitting in the media lunchroom at Busch Stadium. I don't know who the visiting team was. We'll say the Cubs for purpose of this conversation in Chicago. And he was sitting at a table, and whenever he walked into the media lunchroom, everybody kind of congregated around him, and he was telling stories and whatever. And I walked in later, and he and I were radio partners with Mike Shannon, and I walked in, and I was always affectionate with my dad, and I leaned in, and I gave him a kiss on the forehead. And he said, "Take it easy, Buck. Not everybody knows we're father and son." Which is probably more appropriate for 2001 or 2000, whenever this transpired. But that was just his quick wit and sense of humor and why people congregated to him. So while I had his love and while I had his attention, and he took me everywhere by the time I was 12 around the National League, I also shared him with everybody. So it was kind of a give and take. I knew that I had a piece of him, but man, everybody had a small piece of him, in this small town of St. Louis. And, I was always fighting against that. And I'll always be compared, even if it's not real in my mind, to the legend of my dad. So that's kind of how we're coming at this thing. But now you've made me salivate over, the Springsteen book, if it's that well written.
Could not recommend the Springsteen book, by the way, anymore. And there's incredible stuff about his father and about being a father in the Bruce Springsteen autobiography, Born to Run. That was some of the context that Joe Buck and I were discussing there. Let's hear from one of my favorite guests of the year so far. And that is the former Cub, former Devil Ray, former Red Sox, former Texas Ranger, Oakland A, Carlos Pena, now from MLB Network and works a bit over at Marquee as well. One of my favorite guys to have a conversation with. And this, I thought, appropriate to bring back on this Father's Day, because Carlos Pena talking about parenting, I think I enjoyed that more than I did any of the conversation about baseball. Here's Carlos Pena.
Yes, I do make an attempt to pretty much teach, you know, that sort of resiliency, right? That despite the sting of the blade, you know, I tell the story to my kids that in the Orient, you know, young bulls, you know, when they are going to the fight arena, they test them, they prick them with a lance, and the way that they know how brave these bulls are, it's how many times they still charge forward despite the sting of the blade. And I try to tell these stories to kind of like relate to my kids, but it's a little bit more difficult simply because of the circumstances surrounding us, you know, obviously you know, we are as a family more established than my mom and dad were when we arrived in the United States. So it's very difficult for me to paint a picture of them like, hey, man, you know, you're going to be living in an attic. You know, imagine that you're in an attic. Imagine that you're sleeping in a, you know, the whole entire family sleeping on a mattress, on an attic with no heat in the middle of the winter. Like, I can't put that in their minds because it's not a reality for them. I don't even think they're able to imagine it, maybe slightly. You know, so eventually what happens is, you know, maybe the difficulties that we had growing up and adapting to the new culture and going through some difficult times help me, you know, motivate me. Where maybe my kids that are now, you know, well comfortable, you know, how do you teach them to fight for their dreams and to have that hunger? That's a lot harder for us, Matt, because see, eventually what happens is our ceiling becomes our kids' floor. So how do you keep on motivating them? I mean, that's the ultimate for a father, is actually to be able to make sure that you are a stepping stone so that they can keep going and keep on projecting forward. But it's a lot easier said than done. Trust me, I'm working on it on a daily basis, and I want to make sure I do a good job as a father.
Yeah, that's the stuff right there. Our ceiling becomes their floor. You know, Chris Bryant just had his son, and congratulations to Chris Bryant. But he told this radio station a few weeks ago at spring training that he didn't want his son to play baseball because his dad drove him and taught him, and all Chris had to do to beat what his dad had done was make the big leagues, because his dad didn't, and Chris made the big leagues. But what would Chris Bryant's son have to do? Be better than Rookie of the Year and MVP and World Series champion? So he doesn't want to put that on his son. Isn't that interesting? His ceiling has become, you know, he doesn't want that ceiling to be his child's floor. I get it.
Yeah. And it depends. You know, I think when we talk about our ceiling becoming our kids' floor, I mean it more in the sense of, you know, now they have a very solid foundation from them to spring from.
Yes.
Not necessarily to accomplish exactly what we have. You know, sometimes I'll hear my son say, Dad, you know, I want to be like you. And obviously that's a huge compliment. I'm like, son, while you say that, this is what I, you know, he says that, and then, you know, I go in a corner and I say, God, please help me be the man my son sees me as. Mm-hmm. So, you know, because at the end of the day, I know that the way that our kids see us is through this filter, and they look at us as if we were heroes, but they don't necessarily know our weaknesses. They don't necessarily know our limits, you know. And I try to remind them, it's like, no, you know, dad went through some very difficult times. I made a very, very, very many poor choices. So otherwise I wouldn't be able to teach you unless I was there, you know, failing, falling, and then getting back up. So, I want you to be just the best version of you. I want you to be better than the guy that you were yesterday, I tell my sons and my daughter, mm-hmm. right? So it's parenting. I got to say that's got to be the biggest challenge. Oh my goodness, I've ever faced.
It's Carlos Pena, wonderful stuff with him. And the way that he has approached this pandemic actually made its way into my house and into some of my relationships and friendships about how if we don't come out of this thing with better relationships as husbands, as fathers, in our marriages and our other relationships, then we're not doing it right. We are not doing it right. It is a missed opportunity. So, and I can tell you, I believe with a nod of the head, some wifely confirmation, that we are coming out of this a little better than we did coming into it. So thanks, Carlos, for that thought. What are the best father and son moments in the history of baseball? I think, Sean, the way you started the show with the back-to-back homers from the Griffies has got to be up there. I mean, it's ridiculous that even happened, that they homered back-to-back.
Yeah, that has to be the pinnacle. I mean, Dallas Braden throwing a perfect game on Mother's Day is probably the pinnacle as well, having his grandmother there. But that idea of just having a father and son back-to-back hitting home runs is outrageous. It's storybook.
Yeah, it's outrageous. Cal Ripken Sr. managed two of his kids on the same team. you imagine that? Cal Jr. and Billy, both with the Orioles in 1987, and Cal Ripken Sr. is the manager. You're a baseball dad. Two of your kids get to the bigs, and you actually get to manage them? That's crazy. And then I'll give you one more from a home run derby. And that is Robinson Cano winning the home run derby in 2011. Jose, the dad, who pitched briefly in the bigs, I think for the Astros, but very briefly, Jose Cano was in the bigs. But he was a batting practice pitcher for his son forever, pitching to him, and his kid wins the home run derby with him pitching to him. And at the end, Robinson Cano runs up and jumps into his father's arms in celebration. Come on! Come on! That doesn't get you. You're not living. 670 The Score is where you are. Let's talk about dads and baseball and plenty more with our friend and colleague Lawrence Holmes next. And Ozzie Guillen Jr. going to join us at about 11:20 right here on The Score.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about
this? I feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.